Hi, my name is Erin Tillman. I am a dating empowerment coach, speaker, and author known as the Dating Advice Girl. For over 10 years, I've been empowering and coaching singles by helping them improve their social skills, communication skills, and get clear on their dating goals and objectives. Relationships are not one size fits all, but basic consent and respect are important parts of the dating process in order to have an exciting and meaningful connection with others. Listen, learn, and laugh with me on this journey of sex-positive self-discovery. Thanks for listening.
Shadeen trains and collaborates with nonprofit organizations, medical schools, homeless shelters, and university counseling centers to help them create safe, justice-oriented policies and practices. She has been featured on platforms like 6ABC and Huffington Post to share her expertise as she speaks internationally on topics such as self-esteem, sexual intimacy, and pleasure. Shadeen's belief is that the world is built on the strengths of communities. This worldview has propelled her to focus on underserved populations, ethnic and cultural minorities, the kinky poly queer communities, and victims of economic hardship. And here she is, lovely Shadeen. How are you?
I am good. I'm so glad we were able to figure out how to make this work.
I know. I was saying earlier that, you know, I think the first time we met in Vancouver a couple weeks ago?
No, we met at Catalyst last year.
Catalyst, that's right. Catalyst. Yeah. Convention in Los Angeles that happened last year, but it's happening next month, actually. Yes. So this is the book, the consent guidebook, and Dee is a contributor in the book. Her quote is on page 52, and so I'm going to read part of it. It's really, really amazing. This is a great quote. Here we go. So, consent is necessary because it is hardwired in our experience of self. Part of being is rooted in the possibility to make choices. The choices that we make allow us to express who we are, how we feel, and what we desire. Consent then flows out of our existence as interdependent but autonomous, self-determined beings. A person's consent cannot be implied. It has to be actively and consciously chosen. Our participation in any experience is optional, and being given the space to exercise that choice is life-affirming. When denied the opportunity to freely give our consent, we inevitably feel less of our rightful humanity. We feel less valued, less seen, and most significantly, less safe. And there's a little bit more of a quote, but just so good. I mean, just, I don't even know. Okay, let's just start. Let's just start the questions. Why do you want to be a part of this book? Like, what about the idea of this book made you want to contribute to it?
Yeah, I think that consent is such a necessary conversation for us to be having at all, but especially in the wake of the public outcry around Me Too and everyone really championing for having this conversation. I really appreciated the timing of you writing this, because I'm hoping that it can really serve as a platform for folks who had been thinking about this conversation but weren't sure how to start it, give them some foundation for that. And so I, as you know, I'm always wanting to be a part of hard conversations, especially as a therapist. So
yes,
I'm really excited that you opened up the opportunity.
Yay! Well, I'm glad that you're a part of it too. Yay! And okay, so moving on to the question. So, why do you think let's go ahead and go back even further. So consent is a new concept for a lot of people. You know, a lot of people didn't grow up learning about consent or hearing the word consent. So why do you think it's a little tricky or difficult for some people to grasp this idea of consent?
I think because the way we used to talk about consent was that it was either implicit or unsexy. So we're not actually used to asking for permission. We have a whole cultural narrative around do the thing first and then apologize rather than asking for permission. And when we also consider the underlying structures of sexism and racism and heteronormativity and all of, you know, patriarchy and capitalism, all of these ways that really shift power imbalances. And so to negotiate consent would to essentially say that we are existing in this space as equals. And we don't live in a society that teaches us to value that or even see ourselves that way. We live in a society that encourages us to see ourselves as existing on a never-ending hierarchy. And consent really challenges that.
Absolutely, right? Yeah, you're right. I mean, I've not heard anyone put it in those terms, but you're right. I mean, if things are hierarchical, I can never say that word correctly.
Hierarchical.
Yes, that's the word. That's the one. Then it would be a little difficult to say, oh, well, there's an equal thing here. But also, I want to add to that, I think pop culture has a huge part in this. You know, a lot of the TV and movie scenarios we see of, let's just say, usually the heteronormative versions in movies and TV where the guy's chasing the girl, and then she's resistant, but ultimately at some point she gives in, and then they have sex, right? And so I think we do learn from pop culture. We shouldn't be learning from it, but we do, and I think we get a lot from it from that, too.
Yeah, and pop culture is reflective of the larger culture. It's just snapshots of the cultural tropes that were already being messaged, right? Which is why it's effective as, like, propaganda. And I don't mean that all pop culture is propaganda, but that it's a really effective way to teach people what it is in society that you're supposed to be wanting or doing. Right? We learn through story. And so, yeah, we have school to kind of instruct us on how to be. And then entertainment serves to inspire us, right? It's still in the same. And so unless we are experiencing or entertaining ourselves with things that are countercultural or subcultural, we really will get these messages around power imbalances and the way things should be in regards to that.
Absolutely, absolutely. So yeah, this is a new concept for so many people just in society and different, I mean, because there's cultural differences as well. But I like the idea that I've been fortunate enough to be in circles where even though this is a new concept for a lot of people, they're still open to hearing and kind of being challenged in a way, like what they thought was a thing has been challenged a little, and a lot of people are open to it. And I do say this too, whoever's not on board, you better get on board, because you're going to be left behind. This is the new normal. This is the new standard. And I mean, enthusiastic consent is the new normal. Enthusiasm. And you say that in your quote as well. So I'm trying to push that message forward as much as I can. So moving forward, do you think that setting our own clear boundaries is a part of the consent conversation, or do you think that's a separate conversation? So setting clear boundaries.
I think boundaries and consent are interwoven, and so they might require a different skill set, and they might happen on different timelines, but I don't think that we can have consent without clear boundaries, because our communication around what we're consenting to actually needs to be clear in order for us to have an exchange that feels safe and comfortable and pleasurable. So unless you are aware of what's in and what's out, even if your awareness just exists at the level of, like, I could be into that.
Yeah.
Unless we have something along those lines, we actually don't know what we're working with.
Yeah. And boundaries, I mean, you know, I think that, you know, within certain conversations in pop culture or let's say in celebrity, Aziz Ansari, certain situations, they're having a lot of questions like, why didn't that girl leave? Which is it was obviously a little shamey, right? But it's a valid question in addition to why did he keep pushing her as well? But it's an interesting part of the conversation too, I think. It's like, well, not everyone's taught to express their boundaries. Not everyone's taught to say no, you know, in a forceful way to get the F out of there if they need to. You know, I said this in one of the other interviews I did. You know, I grew up around a lot of strong women who were like, you know what, I don't care who it is, you like them, you don't like them, they're an authority figure, whatever, get out if you feel uncomfortable. And not everyone's learned that, you know? So I agree with you. I mean, I think boundaries is a massive part of the conversation.
Yeah, I would totally agree.
Okay, let's keep going. So do you have a fun way, do you have any fun ways to integrate consent? Because this is such a heavy topic. And I feel like we need to, like, infuse some fun into this if we can, or, like, just more lightheartedness. So is there a fun way to integrate consent into a conversation for people?
I think, for me, I'm a little bit biased in that folks who know me well, I'm a kind of a silly person, and so I joke around a lot. and consent has kind of been interwoven in my life in a lot of ways, middle child. So I very much sort of had the experience of growing up feeling like most things, even if I was fairly obedient as a kid, felt like most things had some degree of negotiation. And so really recognizing that we actually don't have to consider consent as, like, this separate overlay. Like, I'm doing my life and now I'm asking for consent, and I'm doing my life and I'm asking for consent. That it can really be simple as, you know, as you're going out to eat, rather than expecting that everyone wants to go to the same place, like, hey, I want to go get French fries. Like, are you down?
Yeah.
That's a consent check.
Yes.
We've been hanging out for a long time. We're still good. Are you having fun? That's a consent check. Right? That just caring about another person's experience, right, is checking for consent. And a lot of folks talk about it being unsexy. But, like, sometimes even just the narration or the interest in another person's experience, I don't know what is more sexy than that. Right? That, like,
yeah.
I want you to have a good time. Right? Like,
yes.
Is that good? Do you, like, I know that do you like it gets a little, you know, iffy. But being able to even say, hey, I want to do this to you, or I'm going to put my hand on your blank, and pausing before you do it to give the person an opportunity to say whether or not that is good,
right,
is desirable. And so just leaving room for other people to have a say in things that you're doing together makes a huge difference.
Yeah, I love that you said ask the question and then pause and wait for the answer. Because I feel like a lot of times there's not that pause moment of being present and waiting to let that person respond. It's more like, can I do this, or I'm going to do this now? This thing's happening to you now. Yeah, exactly. And it's like,
hey, is it fine if I touch you?
Right, exactly. I also like that you brought up French fries in the conversation. There's been some really great analogies that some of the experts have brought up, and I love that too, because it's relatable. It's like, it doesn't have to be just sexual. It can be literally something that's like, do you want some French fries? Or, like, we could even go back to, like, the tea video that some people have had problems with, in the British video, or do you want some tea? I'm not going to force it down your throat, you know? I mean, those examples, if we can make other examples that aren't necessarily sexual, I think that helps the learning curve as well sometimes.
Yeah, and for content who's watching, the video that you referenced is called Consent Tea, and you can find it on YouTube.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. It's really good. I thought it was really good, even though some people thought it was problematic. So we're wrapping up. Do you have any final message about consent that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I think that the more we open ourselves up to checking in on consent, it's a huge way for us to start to really shift the dynamics of the conversation around power and around equity. I don't think that we can have freedom in our society without sexual freedom. And we don't have sexual freedom unless we can consider ourselves equal, even in our sexual exchanges. And so even folks who like to play with power in their sexual lives, right, anything like kink or BDSM, you know, that it really is necessary to be thinking about the other person as a real person. And not assuming that what I want is what you want. I often teach, I work as a sex therapist, as you said earlier, and so I work with individuals and relationships, not just in their sexual lives, but in their broader lives as well. And so a thing that I often teach is the platinum rule. Right? Most of us are familiar with the golden rule, which is right, treat others the way you want to be treated. Mm-hmm. And that feels like, or it might sound like, it would be enough in terms of consent, but it actually doesn't cut it, because you might not like the things that I like, and you might need things that I like. So I teach folks about the plan, which is treat others the way they want to be treated.
Yes.
And that's how we have exchanges that actually feel good. And so when folks say my sexual life isn't working, my relationship life isn't working, my relationship with self isn't working, the way I navigate the world isn't working, quite often it has to do with the difference between me engaging with other people, expecting them to be the same as I am, or me engaging with people the way they are. And for us to really try and negotiate the gap.
Yeah. Absolutely. You cut out a little bit there, but we get the gist. And platinum rule, I love it. Really great. Thank you, Shadeen. You're amazing. Thanks for taking the time. I will see everyone soon with another interview. Bye.